thunderstorms by this evening and tonight. Some of the storms could be strong, possibly severe. The main threat, damaging wind gusts, but tornadoes can't be ruled out. Our weather app will keep you on top of the action. Get it on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. Tomorrow, chance of showers in the morning, then windy, colder, falling temperatures. Upper 40s by sunset, upper 20s tomorrow night and Wednesday morning. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Julia Brooks. The man convicted of poisoning Auburn University's landmark oak trees has increased his restitution payments. Records say Harvey Updike has paid more than $3,000 in court-ordered payments since an October hearing. That's nearly half as much as Updike had paid previously since pleading guilty in 2013 to poisoning the oaks at Toomer's Corner. The increased payments came as a Lee County judge considered whether to have Updike jailed for failing to pay about $800,000 in restitution. Laura Casey, a Democratic candidate for the Public Service Commission, has filed a lawsuit against the PSC for allegedly violating the Open Meetings Act. She was one of three people ejected from a hearing last month for recording the meeting. Judge John Garner told audience members during the hearing that they couldn't record because it was a legal proceeding. And those are some of your news headlines this morning. For more on these stories and others, be sure to watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Julia Brooks.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Hey, y'all, Lewis at the Capitol Oyster Bar down here on this beautiful ever-flowing Alabama River. Invite you to come down and join us this week for some good seafood from the Gulf and good old ribeye steak off the grill and good hamburgers, all kind of good eating. But let me tell you, we have a schedule change this week. We'll be closed Friday all day and night. We have two parties of people who rented the restaurant this year, so we'll be here Wednesday and Thursday all day and night, and then Saturday and Sunday. Sunday we'll close early, about dark or so, and have a little Christmas party for our employees. So just give you a heads up about what's going on down here. You can check out CapitalOysterBar.com, and you'll see a menu of upcoming music. We're going to have a lot of fun in January, especially the 12th and the 19th. Check it out, CapitalOysterBar.com, and you can see what's going on. So let me invite you down here soon. Come hungry. And from my staff and all of us, we just want to tell you, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Montgomery Area Help Wanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Montgomery Area Help Wanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Sam with Blue Water Broadcasting Sales. And you know what? I hope this is going to be the merriest and the happiest new year you've ever had. Please be careful and remember the reason of the season. From all of us right here at Blue Water Broadcasting.
The Senate is considering a House-passed bill imposing criminal penalties for violating the Do Not Call list.
The impeachment inquiry will continue this week with a vote by the entire House of Representatives.
The videographer who broke NFL rules by filming the Bengals sideline in Cleveland last week has now been suspended by the New England Patriots.
China is delaying tariffs on U.S. auto imports after Washington put off tariffs set to begin Sunday.
It means a lot of business, a tremendous amount of business.
A man's been arrested on weapons charges in connection reaction to the killings at a Jewish grocery in Jersey City.
Over the weekend at the box office, Frozen 2 was finally kicked out of first place.
Welcome to Jumanji!
By Jumanji 2, the next level, bringing in just over $60 million.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News 92.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Monday, starting your week out right. 272-9228, that's where we are. If you want to get your name in for the drawing for this weekly farm market, all you have to do is call. If you want your name in twice, then be a first-time caller and then call. Then your name goes in twice. I've been very successful with that. Larry did that with his lovely bride of 41 years. That's a long time. 41-year marriage, and there, and I could tell she was hitting him. I could tell he was, don't do that. Don't say that. Very typical couple there like that. So, let's stay with Ratcliffe while you're handling that and talk about the IG report, FISA, and Comey's FBI. Uh-oh.
You referred to the Nunes memo back in 2018, February of 18, where he wrote out all of the misconduct that took place by that cabal of people. And, of course, then Schiff came out with that correcting the record memo, which we know now was wrong, just flat out wrong. You mentioned some of the wrongdoing. One of them, as we know from the Michael Horowitz report, is an altering of a document by an FBI lawyer. Tell me about that, and where are you expecting accountability, Congressman?
Well, as the Inspector General's findings outline, what are referred to as errors and omissions are false statements, misrepresentations, destruction or alteration of documentary evidence. I mean, what you have are FBI lawyers literally changing evidence to make false representations to the court to continue this counterintelligence investigation against the president. So, you know, it details. Now, everyone's entitled to a presumption of innocence. Democrats never want to give one to Donald Trump. But the Inspector General's findings really outline what is criminal activity. I mean, we're talking about FBI lawyers who are depriving folks like Carter Page of their civil rights under color of law, tampering with evidence, taking documents and making them say the opposite of what they really represent and certifying that to the court. So, you know, really terrible. And again, an indictment of Jim Comey's leadership at the FBI and of the things that the Democrats said to, again, most important point, to continue a counterintelligence investigation against the sitting president of the United States when there was no probable cause to continue it. That they started by making seven errors and omissions that were misrepresentations, alterations of evidence, and then added 10 more to continue it along the way. I don't think the American people can really appreciate the damage that was done to the FBI during Jim Comey's tenure there.
Really, and that's the IG report clearly did that. It was under Comey's watch, FBI got decimated by him and what they did. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Duke. Duke, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
How are y'all today?
Very good. And you?
I'm doing fine. Updike is slowly chipping away at that 800,000, isn't he?
Yeah.
What a jerk. I was going to ask you a question. You know, I saw that old girl I call him the Goon Squad, but the Muslim was on TV this morning doing a speech about something. Wasn't really listening. But
with Bernie Sanders, Omar?
Yeah, that's right. The one that married her father and her
brother.
Oh, isn't that nice? Do you think the DOJ is going to go after them for misusing that money in their account? I don't know
the answer to that. I think they've got so many big fish that they're frying. I'm not sure I think they're probably going to do is turn it over to the IRS and let them kind of deal with that.
Okay, I didn't mean to get off subject, but anyway, I was just curious.
No, that's
okay, brother. Oh, can I get in on Sweet Creek? It's 888.
Of course, Duke.
Okay. Y'all have a good day.
You too.
Love the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now Ratliff here is going to be asked about were there any crimes that were there. But then when he said, do you think people could be charged, listen to how emphatic he is. Listen to this.
So are you saying that there was criminal activity against Carter Page and against a sitting president?
Certainly, I would love to be Carter Page's lawyer. His civil rights, as alleged in the findings by Inspector General Horowitz, very clearly delineate that. But there were actions taken by individuals at the FBI to continue a counterintelligence investigation against a sitting president, against his campaign, and then against his presidency. And, you know, so these are things, the findings made by Inspector General Horowitz, that I would now expect John Durham to look at from a criminal standpoint. I'm not saying that anyone, I'm not making allegations that anyone has, should be convicted. These are allegations, everyone's entitled to a presumption of innocence, but do I think that there's activity detailed in this that should be investigated and prosecuted? Absolutely.
So do you think people could go to jail? Could people go to jail over this?
Absolutely. I mean, what would an aggressive prosecutor do with this if the folks involved were George Papadopoulos or Michael Flynn? The findings of fact made by the inspector general here, you know, certainly detail potential criminal activity, which would send people away for a long period of time.
Oh, really? Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome aboard. Demo show on a Monday.
Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Very good, my friend, and you?
Oh, I'm doing outstanding. Was listening to Comey and trying to make sense of what he was saying, and, you know, I could tell he was trying to do the old spin on it, and as you said, you know, he said, well, I've seen worse. Well, what are you referring to, you've seen worse? Are you familiar with the Henry Lee Lucas case?
Remind me about it.
Henry Lee Lucas was the serial killer that was arrested in Texas for killing his girlfriend and killing his mother. And then he confessed to multiple, and this was back in the 80s, and he confessed to killing approximately 300 people across the United States.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was all a big hoax, and the FBI, the Texas State Rangers, and the U.S. Attorney's Office were all involved in this big hoax. And what they found out was that he couldn't be anywhere where he said he was, because they identified through records and everything, work records, that he wasn't anywhere close and wasn't human possible to commit all these murders. But you would have law enforcement agency after law enforcement agency come in there and spend about 20 minutes with him at the sheriff's office with the Texas Ranger standing beside, and they'd show him crime scene photos, and he'd say, yeah, I did that one. And they were clearing murders right and left, just strictly based on his statement and him viewing crime scene photos. Sometimes they'd take him actually to the scene. Well, a district attorney in another county in Waco thought something was going on. So he got the Dallas PD to present a false homicide case. Nobody had gotten killed or anything to him, and he admitted to it, and then they knew he was lying. So the DA goes after this sheriff and this Texas Ranger, and when he does, all hell comes down on him from the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI. And they raid his house. They charge him with conspiracy, drug trafficking, and said that he was paying money to defense attorneys. They were paying money to him, and he was letting cases go. And the thing goes to a grand jury, and then he's indicted, and then it goes to trial, and he's found not guilty. And then he won the largest verdict, civil verdict, for a long time of $50 million against the TV reporter who was fed information from a U.S. attorney. And it just goes to show you sometimes you say it never can happen. Well, it can.
Absolutely it can.
And that's why people say, well, you know, that's the FBI. They wouldn't do anything like that. Well, yeah, they would. And they have in the past.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely they have.
And the guy that was head of the Texas Rangers was a former FBI director. And I mean, if you get a chance, there's a Netflix special on it, the Henry Lee Lucas case. And, I mean, it's just, you would never think that the collusion would go on between the U.S. attorney even had the IRS threatening the attorneys to make false statements because they said, we will hound you till you die if you don't go along with the U.S. attorney's office. And it's just really eye-opening to see the level, you know, of that could go on from the Fed all the way down to the local law enforcement.
Yeah, really, let me tell you, one of my biggest problems, I'm a small government guy, but when government, law enforcement in particular, pulls the full weight of law enforcement on an individual like they did on Roger Stone, like they did on Paul Manafort, like they did on George Papadopoulos, like they did on Michael Flynn, that is just wrong. It is just wrong the way they're doing that.
Well look at the case over in Atlanta, you know, with the...
Jewel?
Yeah, look at him.
Yeah.
I mean, they ruined that man's life.
Yeah.
And can you just imagine if a local police officer went and gave false testimony to a judge and got a warrant, got an illegal wiretap, and then it was found out and they called the FBI and investigated? His butt would go to jail.
Yeah,
he'd be in prison.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, anyway, it certainly goes on. So I just wonder what Comey was talking about. He'd seen worse.
Yeah, I mean, and we brought that up. It's like, you know, what else has happened out there? Yeah, I think that if Durham really gets into this thing, and it needs, the FBI and DOJ needs a big, big bath. And because my confidence is not going to be back to where it used to be of the FBI or DOJ until they basically bust some heads and butts.
Well, when I was a little boy, I used to watch the FBI story on Sunday nights. Remember?
Efren Zimbalist Jr., yep.
Yes, sir. And when I got out of college, I thought I wanted to go to work for the FBI. I thought that would be wow. And then things happened. But they're going to have to really do some damage control to reestablish people's faith in them.
Yeah, you know, the problem is they had the Hoover days, and that's a whole nother story, particularly when I would talk to people that in the 80s that were in the FBI. You know, they were not that far removed from Hoover, because Hoover was made appointed for life during Johnson's administration.
Right.
And so that wasn't too far removed. And those guys really remembered, and they were trying to correct all of that during the 80s and into the 90s. And I think what they did is they overcorrected. People got too much confidence in them. They started hiring, you know, the squeaky clean college graduate accountant types and things like that. And I think what they did is they got too full of themselves. This is a judicial system gone amok.
Well, it needs a bath,
it
needs a major overhaul.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that one, brother.
Have a good day, Dan.
Thanks, Steve. Newstar 93.1, going to be back after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A retired Air Force pilot in Pike Road was experiencing some turbulence with his money, so he called Alabama Home Mortgage to see what we could do to help.
We lowered his monthly payment by $587, reduced his term by 5 whole years, and allowed him to skip 2 mortgage payments. With Alabama Home Mortgage as his co-pilot, he was able to soar to new financial heights.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly burden much sooner than you thought ever possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you can save.
Let us show you the Alabama Home Mortgage difference.
Call 567-4223 or visit us at alahomemortgage.com to apply today. NMLS 1586. 636-8, equal housing lender.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Let's go back to some of our clips. We got polling we got to get to. We got CBS stuff, getting ready for the impeachment hearing, things like that. We got a lot going on here. Let's go to Maria with Trey Gowdy and Kimberly Strassel, who are two people I really like a lot. Let's listen in to Gowdy on fixing the FBI problem.
For a look at the long-term implications of the Justice Department IG report, Trey Gowdy is former South Carolina congressman. Kim Strassel is here. She's columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Let me kick it off with you, Trey, because you have done so much in the last 3 years, along with your colleagues, John Ratcliffe and Devin Nunes, to really expose the truth. Your reaction to what we're hearing this morning in terms of when this investigation began, unlawful spying, and the informants thrown at the Trump campaign in early 2016.
Yeah, I mean, I think this morning Comey admitted he was wrong. Sometimes, Maria, it's better late than never, and sometimes it's just too damn late. And in this case, Comey is about 2 years too late. We could have used his objectivity. We could have used him as a head of the FBI helping Republicans figure out what was happening with FISA instead of thwarting us and obstructing us. So, he said it was a policy and procedure issue. It's not, Maria. They've always been policies against manufacturing evidence and withholding exculpatory evidence. That's not new. Those aren't new policies. This is a personnel issue. It's the wrong people in the wrong positions of power. That's not going to be fixed with a new policy or procedure. It's going to be fixed by replacing the people who did what they did in 2016.
He is spot on. And I just had two former law enforcement people basically say, before they even heard the clip, that's what the problem is. It's not the agents. Agents are good people. It's the folks that did this, and they need to be removed. They need to be taken out, and they need to be made, use what you do to them so nobody will ever do that again. That is the only way you're going to fix this. So let me stay with this, and now Kimberly Strassel is going to talk about the bias in the FBI.
The other thing is that they keep saying no bias and that didn't affect what they were doing, Kim. And yet we've got all of these texts that says, oh, we're going to have pressure to end the mid-year exam. That's the Hillary Clinton investigation. Just from the fact that Ted Cruz dropped out of the race. That was the text, as Michael Mukasey pointed out earlier. That tells you that they were changing their behavior in terms of the Hillary Clinton investigation and the Trump investigation as a result of what happened.
It's really important to talk about what the IG really did find in terms of political bias, because it's been mischaracterized. What he said is he didn't find documentary evidence of bias, which means he didn't find letterhead somewhere with DOJ on top of it saying, let's take out Trump. But he actually addresses the fact that there was bias in his report, at least from a personal perspective, among the texts that you just noted. And then look, he also laid out for the American people to see, you know, dozens upon dozens of ways in which the FBI abused and manipulated the FISA court. And I think if, you know, what he was trying to do is say, here, people, here's the evidence, you make your own judgment. And anyone with a brain who looks at this knows that, of course, there was bias, because all of those errors go one direction.
And it really is. It's the simplest answer is normally the answer. And that's it. It's just every mistake they made was biased to the Trump people. Let me stay with Maria, with Trey Gowdy. He's going to comment on the bias within the agency.
That's what you said earlier, Trey, that the bias ran through the U.S. government, and it's clear for everyone to see.
Yeah, you've got Fusion GPS, Chris Steele, the DNC, Hillary Clinton, and the mainstream media. All of their work product made its way into the application for FISA. So it's one thing to have naked bias that everyone can see and judge for themselves. It's another thing when you launder that bias through the United States government, place the imprimatur of the DOJ and the FBI, and then present it to a court. So there's no question bias made its way into the FISA application. Horowitz is saying, I couldn't find it at the beginning, but we damn sure found it at the end, and it's called in a court pleading under the imprimatur of the Department of Justice.
So let me continue on here with Strassel again, talking about Hillary Clinton and the FBI.
Hillary Clinton continues to talk about how the FBI was exonerated. I mean, I saw your tweet over the weekend, Kim, where Hillary Clinton tweets out, make sure your family and friends see the evidence for themselves. And then you answer her and say, make sure your family and friends see the IG report. Clinton didn't just invite foreign influence in 2016. She paid for it.
Yeah, there's a double standard that continues to go on here. And it's amazing that Hillary Clinton gets away with this and that the press doesn't call her out for it. I mean, right now we have in 2016 a clear evidence, thanks to this IG report, that one campaign did indeed pay to have Russian information, disinformation as it turns out, misinformation, sent to the federal government and used in an actual proceeding against American citizens. And that is now beyond dispute. And the idea that, you know, that she can just get away with this and no one's going to say anything about it in the context of the impeachment proceedings that were going on right now.
Yeah.
This is a double standard that is beyond the pale.
Let me get this last piece put in here, talking about exculpatory evidence by Trey Gowdy.
You mentioned exculpatory evidence a couple times when you were with me before.
Yeah, Horowitz made an oblique reference to what I was talking to you about, which is a transcript. I mean, when the target of your investigation says this is treasonous activity I would never engage in, guess what, Comey? That's called exculpatory information. The court needs to be told that. It's the fundamentally fair thing to do to Papadopoulos, and the court was not told about
it. And they didn't tell the FISA court.
Let me go to a break. Coming back, we have Mukasey, and then we have polling data, how Ed O'Keefe and others are saying things. We'll be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV. In all the land.
Happy Hour with Greg Budell, afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Try Sinclair's East. Fine dining. Vaughn at Taylor.
I brought Dirk Swofford with me today, who's been a co-worker and a good friend of mine for years. Everybody knows him. He's a great waiter, and two-thirds, three-fourths of the crowd that comes in tonight wants Dirk to wait on him because he's a first-class great waiter and a good man and has lots of stories for the little kids.
Dinner at Sinclair's is a great experience. We have such a nice and large and varied menu that no matter who comes in there, we're going to have something you're going to like.
Dirk knows what's good.
We've got a shrimp pesto to die for. The way they make that pesto sauce, you want to slap your grandma.
Try a burger break at Sinclair's.
Got a lot of great burgers at Sinclair's. They're all hand-patty. There's nothing prefab about our place. We have some great cooks, and they are dedicated, and they love to put out some great food. And we got some great servers, and they like serving that great food.
Sinclair's East. Fine dining. Vaughn at Taylor.
Hello, Mike here from Capital City Ace Hardware. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for some time now, and we've seen a fantastic upturn in business because of it. The folks at Blue Water Broadcasting are so easy to work with, so give them a call. You'll be glad that you did, just like we are here at Capital City Ace Hardware.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Negotiations on how to handle a Senate impeachment trial are underway as the House prepares to vote whether to impeach President Trump later this week.
The House Rules Committee meets tomorrow to discuss the parameters of debate on the House floor. A final vote could come Wednesday or Thursday.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. A number of lawmakers joining Defense Secretary Mark Esper for a ceremony in Belgium marking the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, which saw more than 19,000 Americans killed.
The months-long battle saw American troops countering an attack by Nazi Germany, seen as a last-ditch effort by Adolf Hitler to turn the tide of the war.
Fox's Simon Owen. At least five people have died in weather-related crashes in Missouri and Kansas during a storm that's dumped nearly a foot of snow in some areas. That storm system will be affecting the nation's northeast through tomorrow. America is listening to Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Big weather changes ahead as a strong cold front approaches. Today, breezy and warm, high in the mid-70s. Chance of showers just about any time today, but the best chance for showers and thunderstorms by this evening and tonight. Some of the storms could be strong, possibly severe. The main threat, damaging wind gusts, but tornadoes can't be ruled out. Our weather app will keep you on top of the action. Get it on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. Tomorrow, chance of showers in the morning, then windy, colder, falling temperatures. Upper 40s by sunset, upper 20s tomorrow night and Wednesday morning. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Need to do some holiday shopping, but you're low on cash? No problem. ASE Credit Union has you covered with holiday loans and rates as low as 7.99% with approved credit. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
This is Rick Peters, owner and manager of Blue Water Broadcasting, and I want to take a moment to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from all of us at Blue Water Broadcasting.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Tornado emergency in Alexandria, Louisiana.
Yeah. We're going to have some rough storms here tonight.
Yeah, I got my gutters cleaned out before I came to the show. Okay, let's hit Mukasey here. He's the former attorney general. It's kind of long, but he really hit some good points here.
contact Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz during Wednesday's hearing, laying out what he calls significant concerns about how the FBI conducted its investigation into the 2016 election. But they also said he found no evidence that political bias sparked the probe. Joining me right now is Judge Michael Mukasey, former Attorney General. Now, the conclusions of the IG report were certainly debated after it came out, because you had the AG, William Barr, and John Durham both say that they do not agree, saying that the IG report makes it clear the FBI launched an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign on the thinnest of suspicions that were insufficient to justify the steps taken. I want to ask you about political bias and where it was in the investigation. Was that among the reasons that they investigated Donald Trump?
Let's look at the evidence. And it's evidence that was not discussed in either the IG report or his prior report on the various investigations that the FBI did. There was a point where Ted Cruz withdrew from the campaign during the primaries, which left Donald Trump as the only candidate and therefore the presumptive nominee. That night, he and Lisa Page exchanged texts where she tells him, "Trump, it's going to be a Trump-Clinton campaign." He says, I can't believe it. And she says...
we're looking at the text right now. Lisa Page says, one more thing, she might be our next...
That was later when he was going
later.
On...
She might be our next president. The last thing you need going in there is full to bear. Peter Strzok was about to interview Hillary Clinton on July 4th weekend.
Right, that was in July. But earlier on, they had this exchange where... she says, I can't believe he's going to be the nominee.
Right. Cruz just dropped out of the race. It's going to be a Clinton-Trump race. Unbelievable. Peter Strzok says, what? You heard it here right, my friend. Strzok says, I saw Trump won, figured it would be a bit. Then Strzok says, now the pressure really starts to finish MYE.
MYE was... stood for mid-year exam, which was the code word for the investigation of Hillary Clinton. Now, will somebody please explain to me, in words of one syllable, how it is that the nomination of Donald Trump being the Republican candidate increases the pressure to end the investigation of Hillary Clinton, unless what you want is to curtail the damage to Hillary Clinton and assure that Donald Trump doesn't win? I don't understand what reason you would have to say that the Trump nomination affects the course of the Clinton investigation. And he said that, which is evidence that there was some effect. Now, that's never mentioned in the IG report. It's never mentioned in his earlier report.
Yeah.
I understand that he basically took everybody's word for it because he doesn't have subpoena power. There's somebody who does have subpoena power, and that's John Durham. And Durham is going to be conducting a criminal investigation, which we've yet to hear about.
Now, we've only said that about 1,000 times. But that was interesting that they were sitting there watching this. No political bias here. We're watching, and Cruz just dropped out, which meant it's going to be Trump against Clinton. And there was no political bias there. Let's continue on with Mukasey. He was a former AG under Bush.
And Durham's investigation is going to go looking at what happened before July 2016, because the FBI continues to say we started this investigation in July of 16 because of a tip we heard about a conversation that happened in a bar between George Papadopoulos and an informant. But actually, we know that informants ran into George Papadopoulos, Carter Page, as early as March of that year.
Not only that, but we know that that Jim Comey was talking about Carter Page and briefing on Carter Page in June of 2016, well before any report on the conversation reached the FBI. We don't know why. It'll be interesting to find out.
Another little nugget there. And again, when we put this timeline together, what Comey is saying just does not make sense. And I'm telling you, I think Durham's going to get to the bottom of this thing. And people, hopefully, people are going to get indicted and they're going to be found guilty. But I think what will happen first is somebody's going to roll and they're going to say, well, I'll give you the beans if you'll go light on me here. Final segment with Mukasey.
So John Durham is looking at this in a criminal matter. What took place before July 16th? We'll focus on that in Durham's investigation. I want to ask you about what took place last week, where Adam Schiff had the phone records of Rudy Giuliani, listen, the president's personal lawyer, of John Solomon, a journalist, of Devin Nunes, who we're going to speak with momentarily, the ranking member on the Intel Committee. Not only did he get those phone records, but then he let the public know he had those phone records, and everybody started speculating. Why did Rudy Giuliani call the White House? Why did John Solomon call Rudy Giuliani? Which, really, you're allowed to make a phone call.
Yeah, but that's a stunner. It's not just that he had them. It's where he got them. He got them from the telephone company that was providing the service. There are statutes, and they're part of the criminal code, that restrict the ability of anybody to get those records, and they list who can get them and under what circumstances, and that doesn't include Congress. It's for law enforcement purposes, or if the company wants to disclose them in order to save somebody's life or prevent serious injury, they can do that. But those are the only circumstances, and a congressional committee, as far as I know, has no authority to subpoena that information.
Are you saying that was a crime?
It's the statute restricting that is in Title 18. That's the criminal code. You tell me.
Devin Nunes says he's going to have a legal strategy come January. We'll see what that looks like. But you think he has strong standing?
I think he has strong standing, and I think that there ought to be questions asked and answered about how it is that Schiff purported to issue a congressional subpoena for telephone records to the provider, not to the people whose records they were, but to the provider.
Yeah.
I mean, does that mean that, for example, if somebody's nominated for a public office and he's being confirmed by a Senate committee, that Senate committee has the right to go look at his telephone records? That's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
The statute was designed to stop that.
AT&T rolled over and gave him the data. Unbelievably.
Well, Congress regulates them.
Aha! That's the catcher there. Okay, now let's move into some of this polling data things. Ed O'Keefe is going to be talking about Bloomberg, new polling data in Bloomberg and what he's doing. And you're going to kind of get out of the second part of this. He's pulling votes from Biden. Listen in.
The latest CBS News battleground tracker of Democratic presidential candidates focuses on Super Tuesday. That's a key day in the race. Democratic voters in the 14 states holding primaries on March 3rd favor former Vice President Joe Biden, followed closely by Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Now, the poll also shows a newcomer to the race. That's former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg. He's in fifth place with 4% support. Ed O'Keefe is covering the campaign 2020. So, Ed, what do these numbers tell us?
Well, the new poll shows that the Democratic race is still pretty fluid, and that has voters nervous. 4 in 10 Democratic voters in the 14 states holding primaries on Super Tuesday, March 3rd, say they're uneasy about whether any Democratic candidate can defeat President Trump. But Bloomberg's strategy might be paying off.
Turn North Carolina blue.
Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg opened his first campaign field office on Sunday, not in Iowa or New Hampshire, but in the Super Tuesday state of North Carolina.
We're here and we are going to stay here, not just through Super Tuesday, but through the Republican convention when you know who comes to town.
Bloomberg just doesn't have it. I watched him at that event. It was terrible. It was terrible. And the callers into C-SPAN afterwards just raked him over the coals and just say, you know, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Well, he's a billionaire is who he is. Okay, so Ed O'Keefe's going to be talking about Bloomberg pulling votes from Biden. Listen in.
Less than a month on the campaign trail, Bloomberg is already on track to be spending more than $100 million on TV ads.
Jobs creator, leader, problem solver.
A new CBS News poll finds that Bloomberg is pulling support away from former Vice President Joe Biden. But about half of Democratic voters, in particular backers of Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, believe Bloomberg's campaign shows the rich can have too much influence in politics.
I'm drawing a clear distinction between myself and the billionaires and the folks who suck up to the billionaires.
Meanwhile, 9 Democratic contenders signed a letter over the weekend asking party leaders to change the rules that determine who gets to appear at debates. They argue the current rules, which require both a polling and fundraising threshold, have unnecessarily and artificially narrowed the strongest and most diverse Democratic field in history. The letter was started by Senator Cory Booker, who didn't make the stage for this week's debate and has been raising concerns for weeks.
It is a problem that we now have an overall campaign for the 2020 presidency that has more billionaires in it than black people.
The DNC is unlikely to change the rules for January's debate, but party leaders say they might consider changes for debates scheduled in February and March. Seven candidates are set to debate on Thursday in Los Angeles. Five of them are men. Six of them are white. There is a chance, however, there won't be a debate. A labor dispute ongoing between food service workers at the Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles, where the debate's going to be held, and the company that employs them could force a picket line. The candidates say they won't cross a picket line, Anthony, if one goes up before Thursday.
Have more billionaires than have black people. Mm. Now, whose fault is that? Would have the same number of people, black and billionaires. Okay, so now listen in on the CBS polling analysis talking about Dems are getting kind of nervous, maybe.
Elections and Surveys Director Anthony Salvato is here. We've had weeks of Anthony partisan Salvato. Argument over impeachment. We've had lots of testimony, booklets of testimony.
Yes.
Where does that leave things?
Still with partisan splits.
Yeah.
It really hasn't moved a lot, that number you cited about deserves, not deserves impeachment. And one of the reasons is that people tell us they don't think the Democrats have made their case very clearly. They don't necessarily think the Republicans have either, mind you. But even people who said coming into this their mind wasn't made up haven't all moved in one direction or another.
So what are they saying about the next step in the impeachment process?
So next steps, more splits. You've got 42% who say that they'd like to see the president removed, but just as many, equally as many, say either not to convict or don't hold a trial at all. And one thing to point out is that those numbers on removal are always a little bit smaller than support for the impeachment process, because not everybody thinks that even if it's impeachable, it deserves removal.
Really I want to look at, sorry, what were we going to say?
I was going to say only 27% of people think Democrats made their case clearly. Only 21% of people think Republicans made their case clearly. So basically, the majority of Americans don't know what's going on. Yeah. They don't think it's been done well.
Yeah. On the campaign trail, they're not talking about it. Voters aren't asking about it, are they?
No. In fact, Democrats say they'd rather have their candidates talking about how to beat Donald Trump than impeach and remove him.
Well, interesting, in the CBS News Battleground Tracker poll, the new one, that among the five candidates, there's a surprising newcomer here in
Mike Bloomberg. So he's in fifth place. Now, he's not near that top tier, that Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders yet, but he's just gotten started. And these are in the Super Tuesday states. That's where he's trying to play.
No, that was packed with information out here. It's talking about the Super Tuesday versus other, but the polling, it's back to what I was talking about. It really is. People are not paying attention. I don't know how you can draw a conclusion that somebody should be impeached if you only have 21% of the people who are paying attention, or 21% of the people think that Republicans did a good job and 27% of the people think the Democrats did a good job. Let's continue on with Cervati talking about, now listen to this, you're going to hit gender and race bias are showing up in the results on the Democrat side of the House.
And isn't that quite an accomplishment, though, Anthony, considering that he just got in, that he's even in the top five?
Yes, for context, it is. And, you know, what we see is that he draws a little bit of support from former Joe Biden supporters and a little bit from people who think the party is moving in a too liberal direction. Now, his hurdle, of course, is that that's not most Democrats. Most Democrats are saying the party is ideologically okay. But that could be his entry.
How are Democrats feeling about the diversity of their field, which began very diverse, has gotten less so?
Right. So, you know, this is a lot about what people think other people will think, in the sense of, right?
Yeah. Yes.
In the sense of, Democrats are trying to pick a nominee that they think can beat Donald Trump. Well, how do you do that? A lot of Democrats feel that if they nominate a woman or if they nominate someone of color, that it will actually make their chances harder. Again, this isn't what they want. It's what they think swing voters will want, which kind of tells you about how people look across the
divide. How are they feeling about the primary race so far in general?
Nervous.
Yeah.
Nervous. You know, they're only somewhat confident that they can pick somebody who can beat Donald Trump, and they're more nervous than they are optimistic. Now, political campaigns can be uncertain, but they also tell you, well, they see a lot of infighting between the candidates, and that's not helping.
I think it's interesting what you said. They're trying to think what other people are thinking make their decision. How do you deal with that?
And only 22% of them are excited about their options.
And is that because they mostly just want a winner, right?
They want a winner. Look, political consultants have a hard time doing it. Yeah. You know, maybe the public will do it better than they will.
interesting point, particularly on the gender and race, because they don't think that if you get a woman or a black, that you can't beat Donald Trump with that. That was interesting. Going to be back. Final segment. Dan Moore Show right after this.
The Dan Moore Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM. Six till nine and afternoons three till six. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Barry Moore, a true conservative with a proven conservative record. Barry Moore was voted by Yellowhammer News as Alabama's most conservative legislator in 2013. Barry Moore, a veteran who has served his country and has been honored for his support of veterans while serving in the Alabama legislature. Barry Moore, the first elected official in America to endorse candidate Donald Trump for president in 2015. Barry Moore for Congress, a proven conservative, a proven Trump Republican.
I'm Barry Moore, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Barry Moore for Congress, Enterprise, Alabama.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. Since 1963, Bernie has been the Montgomery Grown document technology leader in the River Region. During our 55 years, we have seen a lot of copier companies come and go. That's when we do more than just offer our clients copiers. We offer a diverse portfolio, including document capture and storage, digitizing your paper-based processes, and software to manage costs. Call me on my cell at 201-0199 and ask me about our managed print program where we can cut your printing costs in half. 201-0199.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV. Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Okay, boys and girls, this is it. On a Monday, got bad weather coming in tonight. Hunker down. We'll be here tomorrow. It's going to be a lot cooler coming into the studio at 12 tomorrow than it was at 12 today. Hence me being in a short sleeve shirt. Let's do this, Joey. Let's pick off this Newt Gingrich. He's going to say they're going to start out with a clip, which is something that I've been saying here. And even Steve Ducey picks up on it.
More importantly, this is a continuing threat to the integrity of our elections now. We cannot take the risk that the next election will be corrupted through foreign interference solicited by the president, which he is clearly trying to do.
As president of the United States, he withheld hundreds of millions of dollars to coerce an ally, betray our national security, and try to cheat in the next election.
Is that a little bit of the strategy of Democrats going forward? This president is going to corrupt the next election? Let's talk to Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House. Newt, what do you think about that? Do you think that is the Democrats' new strategy, their new talking point? Unless this president is impeached, he's going to, and removed from office, he's going to screw up the next election, too.
Well, look, I think if you're a Democrat, what you figure is that Trump's going to win. And from their standpoint, that screws up the election. So what do they do so that Trump can't win? Well, if he's in the election, he's going to win. So how do they get him out of the election? I mean, this is the most bizarrely anti-constitutional gimmick I think I've ever seen. There's zero basis for what they're doing. Just listen to him talk about it. The fact is that there's nothing constitutional about trying to impeach a president because you don't like him. And that's the bottom line here.
The Democrats don't like him. Left-wing Democrats hate him. They wake up every morning hating him. Then he tweets. That reminds them he's still president. They hate him even more. But that's, I think what's happening is, and, this, and they've got to look at the British election. What's happening is left-wing Democrats are very happy attacking Donald Trump. Independents and Republicans think that it is a total waste of time and that it's wrong.
Right.
And they've been losing ground. They just had a Democrat switch parties because they're losing ground, not gaining ground.
And let me tell you, Nadler, Schiff, all of them were saying the same thing. We've got to do it, and it's got to stick because he's going to do it again in 2020, which is what they're going to blame. They're going to put that on Durham. You just mark my words. Now let's do Newt on the Dems are tied up in knots.
They say they've been following the candidates around to vying for the nomination. You got 15 of them. They don't want to talk about impeachment. Even Nancy Pelosi at her press conferences and at her events, she's like, why are all these guys at our town hall? Why is everyone talking about impeachment? Let's move on. Let's talk about other things. So Republicans are trying to spend money in these districts to make people focus on impeachment, and the Democrats who are bringing it don't want to talk about it. Make sense of that.
Well, it's pretty obvious. They had a very weak case, then they gave it to Schiff, who is a liar and, frankly, looks sort of like a Soviet-era prosecutor. He's not a very believable person. He then went and did it in secret. And in America, nothing cuts off the public faster than telling them it's going to be in secret. Then they give it to Nadler, who's just terrible on television. So every day this goes on, they get weaker. And Nancy Pelosi, who's not stupid, has figured out she couldn't stop it because her left would have cannibalized her. So she had to go through with it. But this is a worse nightmare than she expected. President will go to the Senate. The Senate will get rid of it. Notice, by the way, Trump's more popular now than when it started. Yeah. His approval in a couple of polls is above 50. Notice that McConnell continues to deliver on judges. One out of every four judges in America has been picked by Donald Trump. And notice that Trump's winning on issues like the Mexico-Canadian trade agreement, and his good ally Boris Johnson just won a landslide in Britain, and Trump promptly said, why don't we have a free trade agreement with Britain? So he's on offense, he's being positive, he's doing things that make sense to people, which is almost exactly the Clinton playbook. I mean, Clinton had this maniacal belief that if he said every day, I'm doing the people's business, that gradually people get sick of the impeachment process and they'd want to get on with stuff. And Trump, I think, is succeeding.
There you go.
Very, and very timely with that thing. I don't think we fit in the other clip here. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show.
Good show today.
Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And I keep doing this until I get it right. Greg Bidell the Great. He's next. Adios.